Shuka uvacha. Govardhane drite shoile asarar rakshite braje golokad abrajat krishnam surabhi chakra evacha. Shukadev Goswami said, after Krishna had lifted Govardhan Hill and thus protected the inhabitants of Braja from the terrible rainfall, Surabhi, the mother of the cows, came from her planet to see Krishna. She was accompanied by Indra. Report. The word Golokat here indicates the material planet called Goloka, which is filled with exceptional cows. Surabhi went joyfully to see Lord Krishna, but Indra went fearfully, as indicated by this verse. Lord Krishna had to adopt extraordinary measures to protect his Vrindavan associates from Indra's obnoxious and offensive attack. Certainly, Indra was ashamed and was also nervous about his future. Having acted improperly, he had fearfully gone to seek the shelter of Lord Brahma, who then ordered him to take along Surabhi from the material Goloka planet and go to see Krishna. Om Agyanti Midandasya Gyananjana Chalakaya Chakshurun Militam Jinatas Moi Sri Guru Namaha. Shukadev Goswami said, after Krishna had lifted Govardhan Hill and thus protected the inhabitants of Braja from the terrible rainfall, Surabhi, the mother of the cows, came from her planet to see Krishna. She was accompanied by Indra. What is the position of King Indra, who is the ruler of all of the heavenly planets, the various demigods who live in the most unbelievable royal opulence, who have such incredible, extraordinary powers to literally control departments which affect the entire universe? They all accept Indra as their leader. In fact, at times of difficulty, they seek shelter of the strength of King Indra. Of all the heavenly planets, Indraloka, with the Nandanandana gardens, is considered the most beautiful, the most opulent. We find in the Shastras, oftentimes, great demons. This is their aspiration, to somehow or other conquer Indra. Because by conquering Indra, the greatest material wealth will be theirs. Ravana, from the island of Lanka, aspired to build a staircase to Indraloka, so he could occupy the kingdom of Indra. Bali Maharaj, when he gained great power, the first thing he did was to march upon Indraloka. Indra's position is so grand, so royal. Sometimes people of this world, when they get a little bit of wealth, when they become a millionaire or a billionaire, what is a billionaire? So you have some property, this place and that place. nice houses, so many servants, maybe even millions of people under your subjugation. But this earth planet is nothing in size or in opulence compared to Indraloka. And we find that there is no one, even the greatest, most wealthy, that can say that they control this tiny little speck of a planet called Earth. And when people get some opulence, when they get some power to control others and prestige, they become very proud. They think they are Ishwaras. They consider themselves to be like God. They expect all sorts of respect. If someone does not show them the respect that they think is due to them, they become either humiliated, insulted, or extremely angry. This is the curse of having too much wealth. We fall into the illusion that we are the controllers. We think that we can control our own destiny. We become proud. We become attached. And we expect people to respect us, to honor us, not for who we are, but for what we have. Anyways, we are all like little insectine tree creatures in comparison to Indra. And Indra, because he was intoxicated by false pride, he was expecting the worship of the Brijbasis. But this little child, Gopal, knowing that Indra was his devotee, knowing that ultimately Indra wanted to serve him and become pure, but because he was so much sidetracked by all of his material opulences, Krishna wanted to rescue him. He wanted to save him from losing all of his spiritual position. And therefore, Lord Sri Krishna told Nanda and the gopas, no need to worship Indra. Indra is indirectly giving rain, but Indra is obliged to give you rain if you just perform the right karma. If you just do good activities, the demigods are obliged to give you the result. Why should you worship him? Worship Govardhan Hill. You are directly getting the grasses that feeds the cows, that gives us milk from Giriraj. So worship. Can you imagine? Here is Indra, the king of all kings, who is expecting the honor and respect of his subjects. And they are worshiping an inanimate mountain instead, with all of the paraphernalia that was meant for him. And it was all on the preaching of one small little seven-year-old cowherd boy. He became furious. He sent the Samvataka clowns that you go and you destroy this Vrindavan Dham and you kill all the residents. The Samvataka clouds are not ordinary rain clouds. They are exclusively utilized only at the time of universal destruction. The Samvataka clouds are so powerful that at the end of millenniums, they pour down such rain that within a matter of minutes, the whole earth comes into such a situation that the oceans raise so high that they cover all the land. There's simply one deep, great ocean. And the waters reach high and high into the sky, and everything is destroyed. Indra was very serious. He was insulted. Krishna says, for one who has been honored, dishonor is worse than death. And we find so many places in the Shastras when someone wanted to insult a Kshatriya, better than killing him is dishonoring him. It's like murdering his ego, but allowing him to live and suffer the pain. Just like at the time of Ashwatthama. Ashwatthama tried to perform an abortion. He tried to kill the child Parikshit while he was in the womb of Uttara. Today, this society is so degraded that people, that doctors get paid to do the same thing. But Ashwatthama was properly punished. Arjuna captured him, tied him with ropes, and was ready to kill him. But Draupadi pleaded, "No, no, please. He has a mother just like me, who's also a widow. So please allow him to live. For the sake of the mother, allow her only child to live." That was her love, her mercy. Bhima wanted him dead. He didn't think about mothers. He just thought about justice. So anyways, it was decided, we will kill him but not kill him, by humiliating him. They took the jewel from his head and they cut his hair in various places to make all different spots, and he looked foolish. In this way, he was utterly humiliated, and everyone was satisfied that this is worse than death. Similarly, when Hanuman destroyed the Ashoka Gardens in Sri Lanka, Ravana said, "Burn his tail. Monkeys are proud of their tails. If we humiliate him in this way, it's worse than killing him." So we can understand that proud, honorable people, how much they cherish their recognition and their prestige in society. Even today, you see, generally people who are very simple, they don't have much prestige, so they really are not affected or disturbed by anything. But the more prestige you have, the more you're constantly in anxiety about losing it. I had one acquaintance who was a very close friend of perhaps the biggest musician in the whole Western world, from London. But he had a musical band that was so famous. It was the most long-lived and famous band practically in the century. And he was worth millions and millions and millions of dollars, and he had everything. But this friend of his was telling me, he's always in anxiety. He's always fearful that he might lose his reputation. Before every performance, when he performs, 100,000 people come to hear him sing. He will not go to a place that doesn't have at least 70 or 80 to 100,000 people capacity. It's below his dignity. And it's sold out a year before he even comes. And he does that every night when he's on tour. And yet before every performance, he's in complete anxiety. What if they don't like me? What if I lose my fame and my position? What if I lose my voice? What if people just forget me? He's a miserable soul. He's totally insecure. Because the more you have, the more you're afraid of losing it. Especially when it comes to prestige. Look at these big, big politicians. That's all they care about is their name. And yet, practically every one of them, they just make one little mistake and everyone hates them. Huh? You know what terrible suffering that causes them? They spend their whole life coming to a position of fame and one mistake and they're just down forever. Their name is just thrown in the mud for everyone to trample on. So yes, for one who has been honored, dishonor is worse than death. And that is why Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu explains the most important principle in spiritual life. Trinadapi sunichena tarorapi sahishnana. Amanina manadena kirataniya sadahari. To be more humble than a blade of grass. Let everyone step on you. A blade of grass has no position except to be stepped on. Be humble like that. Don't think you have any position except that of a blade of grass. Be more tolerant than a tree. Be ready to offer all respect to others and not expect anything in return. Only in this state of mind can we chant the holy name constantly. So, because Indra was a devotee, Lord Sri Krishna was making special, wonderful arrangements to make him humble like a blade of grass. In this way, when Krishna lifted the Govardhan Hill and held it with the smallest finger of his left hand for 7 days and seven nights, Indra realized his position. His position with all of his power and all of his might and his mighty thunderbolts and the Samvartaka clouds, Krishna defeated him with the little finger of his left hand, a seven-year-old little cowherd boy. At that time, Indra understood that Krishna is Bhagwan. He is the Supreme Personality of Godhead. He is the Absolute Truth, the cause of all causes, and he is his eternal master. And then Indra came to his senses. It was a rude awakening that he had committed a terrible, terrible offense due to false pride. It is a fact. Due to false pride, we are subjected to committing so many offenses against God and his devotees. If we are humble, there's no question of committing offenses. All offenses are born of pride. When you think yourself to be the servant of the servant and offer all respect to others, how can you commit any offense to anyone? But the demon of false ego impels us in order to put forward our own good name and fame, or in order to try to bring somebody else down to protect our own position. Or with the idea that we are in a position to judge others as some sort of an authority. In this way, we commit so many offenses. Indra realized that what is the use of all my heavenly opulences? What is the use of all my riches and all my fame and all my beautiful apsara dancing girls? I'm supposed to use them all in the service of Krishna, and here I am offending Krishna. So he was too much embarrassed. From the core of his heart, he really felt bad. But he was thinking, how can I approach Krishna after what I've done? He felt guilty, terribly guilty. He tried to kill all the Brijvasis, all those who Krishna loves, and destroy the whole land of Vrindavan, which is Krishna's eternal abode. Can you imagine how guilty he was? He didn't know what to do. So he approached Lord Brahma. Lord Brahma is his spiritual master. It is described here that Lord Brahma is the father and the guru of all the demigods. This is very, very significant. When we are in a confused state, when we are in doubt, when we know we have committed an offense, we must, in the same mood of Indra, we must approach our spiritual master. And Indra said, do you know what I have done? How can I approach Krishna now? What should I do? And Brahma gave him the most perfect and the most eternally sanctified advice. Lord Brahma said that what you have done to Krishna and what you have done to his devotees, do not even try to approach Krishna directly. You are a fallen soul. You are degraded. You are an offender. But if you please someone that Krishna loves, his devotee, if that devotee on your behalf appeals for Krishna's mercy, you will undoubtedly receive it. So Krishna, he is Govinda, Gopal. Namo Brahmanya Devaya Go Brahmana Hitaya Cha. Krishna is especially fond of the cows and the Brahmins. And we know how much Krishna loves his cows and how much his cows love him. The mother of the cows is Surabhi. You approach her. If you can gain her favor and she appeals to Krishna on your behalf, then Krishna will most certainly give you his great mercy. Try to understand this wonderful arrangement that Krishna has made. Here is the most majestic king of the heavens, decorated with royal golden armor, crowns, jewels, the king of all the demigods, the master of the most beautiful palaces, gardens, the wealthiest of the wealthy in the entire universe. And he is humbly appealing to a cow, to a simple cow, for protection. Because he knew that this cow has the greatest opulence, greater than all my money, all my power, and all my fame. This simple cow is loved by Krishna, and she loves Krishna. That is the greatest wealth, and that is the greatest power. Indra knew, even with my thunderbolt that can smash the Himalayan mountains into dust, my power is nothing in comparison to this cow. We never read about these cows killing demons. We never read about these cows exhibiting any mystical powers or any great strength. Indra had all the 8 mystic cities fully developed. These cows had no mystic cities. These cows, all they did is eat grass and give milk. What is the comparison between a cow and Indra? Yet this cow, simply by eating her grass and giving her milk to Krishna, she became very dear to Krishna. She loved Krishna. With all her simplicity, she loved Krishna, and Krishna loved her. And Indra learned from his spiritual master that this simple, innocent love is the greatest power on all the earth. Because the simple, innocent love alone can capture the heart of Krishna. And Krishna is the supreme most powerful. The Brijbasis, they had no powers. They didn't even have any weapons to defend themselves. But because they loved Krishna, Krishna personally defended them. Kaunteya prati jani hina me bhakta pranashyati. Krishna says that I will always protect my devotee. A devotee who simply has this simple love and devotion and faith in God, all the power of God is there behind that soul. How is it that Hiranyakashipu, with all of his might, who conquered the entire universe, he could not even harm one hair on the head of Prahlad, who was just a 5-year-old innocent child who had no power except love of God? How is it that Ambarish Maharaj, who was just a simple, humble king, who was not a yogi at all, when he was attacked by Duravas with such a mystical power that a fiery demon came to devour him, Ambarish Maharaj did not try to retaliate. He just folded his hands and said, Krishna, as you like. If you want me dead, I want to die. If you want me to live, why should I fear this demon? The simple, innocent faith and devotion in the heart of a Vaishnava is the greatest power on earth. Therefore, Indra, the most powerful wielder of the thunderbolt, Vajra, the king of all the heavens, he approached the simple, innocent mother in the form of a cow, because he knew that she has the greatest wealth of Krishna consciousness. We should aspire for no other wealth in this world save and except the wealth of Krishna consciousness. In fact, Srila Prabhupada used to say that the demigods and the residents of the heavenly planets are standing in line to take birth in this earth planet, in the womb of devotees, so that they could have a chance to become Krishna conscious and receive the mercy of Lord Chaitanya, because they know it is the greatest wealth. Indra approached Surabhi, this cow, and appealed to her that I have committed a great offense to Bhagavan, Sri Krishna, and I am begging you, please, on my behalf, to beg forgiveness. These great personalities know that no one can approach God directly. We must approach God through the spiritual master and through the Vaishnavas. Then Krishna hears our prayers with great satisfaction. Mad bhakta puja vyadika. However great we may be, we should know that worship of Krishna's devotee is more pleasing to Krishna than worshiping him directly. Yasya prasada bhagavat prasado, yasya prasada nagati kutopi. By pleasing the spiritual master, automatically, simultaneously, Krishna derives the greatest pleasure. But if you displease the spiritual master, whatever you do, you'll never get the mercy of Krishna. If you displease your spiritual master, you can perform heaps and heaps of tapasya, you can give just incredible amounts of wealth and charity, you can chant billions upon trillions of names of God, you could learn all the shastras, memorize them all, but you think Krishna needs to hear all these things? If you displease your Gurudev, if you displease the Vaishnavas, Krishna doesn't care for any of these things. But even if you are a simple cow, eating some grass, giving some milk, like a mother, and you please your spiritual master, then Krishna's, all his blessings will shower upon you infinitely, without restriction. This is the eternal sacred truth of Vaishnava philosophy. So, Indra Dev begged Surabhi. And you can imagine, Surabhi, it is described by the Acharyas, she was actually quite perplexed and also a little embarrassed. Here is the king of heaven coming to me. I'm just a simple cow, just the mother of calves, a giver of milk, an eater of grass. He's coming to me. He's taking shelter of me. So she said, all right. Let us go to Vrindavan. So it is explained that Krishna, after he put down the Govardhan Hill, he was walking around Brajbhumi just seeing how everything was, making sure Govardhan Hill was all right after all these thunderbolts and rainstorms were falling upon him for so many days. And he wanted to make sure that everything in Vrindavan was nice. He wanted to examine whether ever any damage was done. And as he was like this, Indra came and he bowed down with his beautiful bejeweled golden helmet at the feet of Krishna. But Krishna just walked by him as if he didn't even notice his existence. Here is this little barefooted cowherd boy just walking by, ignoring the King of Heaven. And at that time, at a place in Brajbhumi called Surabhi Kund, the Surabhi, Mother Surabhi, approached Lord Sri Krishna, and with such a soft, humble, and sweet voice, she said, "My dear Lord Gopal, Indra is very sorry for what he has done. He is begging your forgiveness. Please, please accept him as your servant." And when Krishna heard these words coming from his beloved Surabhi, he could not refuse. And at that time, he bestowed his mercy upon Indra. And then he accepted Indra's apologies. Only when Surabhi intervened on his behalf. We find in Lord Chaitanya's Leela a same idea when Jagai and Madhai, they were such offenders. Lord Chaitanya was ready to kill them with his Sudarsan Chakra. But when Lord Nityananda, who is Guru, intervened and said, "No, my Lord, please, look, he's bowing down, begging for forgiveness. Please forgive him." Lord Chaitanya's heart melted. In the same way, we should know from this beautiful narration how important it is to receive the blessings of the Vaishnavas. Do not try to approach Krishna directly. Do not even try to approach Krishna's name directly. We chant the holy name under the instruction and the guidance with the blessings of Guru and Vaishnavas. Then, when we approach the name, Krishna feels great pleasure. We are dependent on the mercy of the Vaishnavas. Narottam Das Thakur has prayed, "Chadiya Vish Vaishnava Seva Nistara Pai Chekeva," that no one has ever been forgiven from their offenses, and no one has ever been liberated from the miseries of this world who has not received the heartfelt blessings and mercy of the Vaishnavas. Whoever we may be, to be the servant of the servant of the servant of the Vaishnavas, to always be dependent on their help and their blessings, to approach them with all humility, is the true path of purification. It is the path that leads directly to the heart of God. Is there any questions? If there's any questions, I can try to answer. Thank you very much.